This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, the Greek meltdown bubbling over.
And now news from those who move New York. Transit cuts announced by the MTA include the elimination of 1,000 positions by layoffs or attrition. We head to a mass, and I mean mass, rally of transport worker union workers against the cuts.
At which the Reverend Jesse Jackson partners with transit workers to keep America moving.
Who moves New York?
We do!
Who moves New York?
BWU!
Hell no, you're not going to take our job!
Yeah!
Are we going to push back?
Yeah!
Are we going to fight?
Yeah!
I'm John Samuelson, president of Transport Workers Union Local 100.
What we're in right now is a massive fight back on a national level. Our station agents are right now targeted for layoff. 475 by a guy that's making $350,000 a year.
Unacceptable.
Jay Walder. I can't get over the irony of a millionaire telling people that are making $40,000-$50,000 a year that they got to go on the unemployment line. I want to bring up a station agent who's been out there protecting the riding public, a guy who's been the eyes and ears of the system, Thomas Ramroop.
Jay Walder, you are looking to destroy our lives by taking our jobs from us. When you stand us up to risk our lives to protect these people, to move these people, we are the eyes and the ears of this system. We move this city. We're responsible for their safety. Without us, where are they going to go? They need help. They see a crime. Who are they going to run to? No one. Who are the public going to turn to when they see a booth with no one in it?
No one.
We're going to go right back to the 1970s. And what Walder's trying to do, trying to take our lives. He's making this city unsafe for us and everyone. We are strength. We are unity. We are young and strong. We are the future of this company. And you want to let us go? You want to destroy us? No!
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 No more cuts! No more cuts!
Our next guest is very important to Local 100. He represents workers on the Long Island Railroad, and this is a historic moment because, as illogical as it is, our two unions have never stood in solidarity before. He comes here today to stand in solidarity with TW Local 100 and the rest of the transit worker unions in New York State and across the country. Anthony Simon from the UTU.
Yeah!
It's labor who built this MTA, yeah! Not the suits.
Yeah!
I stand here with the TWU. I still fight with every ounce of my blood for every member out here, and I will not stop until everybody stands in their respective spots and shows them that safety is because of you. You are the MTA. I am with you. I will stay with you. Thank you.
No more cuts. No more cuts. No more cuts.
My name is Gene Rushenoff, and with the Transit Riders Group, the Strap Hangers Campaign, I'm here to tell labor, you are not alone. There are many groups like mine, environmental groups, who are infuriated by what's happening. They want to take hundreds of people out of the subway to whom we can say something. It's crazy. My fellow environmental groups that are supportive are the Environmental Defense Fund, the Tri-State Transportation Campaign, and Transportation Alternatives, and the New York City Environmental Justice Alliance. We are with you.
Stop those layoffs! Stop those layoffs!
Next, we have members of the New York City Council come out to support New York City transit workers and transit workers across New York. Lisa Mark, Viverito, Tris James, and Margaret Chin.
They say cut back, we say
fight back.
They say cut back, we say
fight back.
Cut back,
fight back.
Cut back,
fight back.
Not only move this city, but you keep this city safe. And it's critically important that we tell millionaires who are bailed out on Wall Street that it's time to bail out the working class in the city of New York.
Yeah.
So it's time that we tell the governor. It's time that we tell the mayor of the city of New York. It's time to tell him to hands off Workers Union 100.
Yeah!
In Brooklyn, where is the $200 million to build an arena? It was a deal that they cut, and it could have went to save your jobs. Hands off your workers, hands off your jobs. Make some noise.
Speaker Larry Hanley, International Vice President, Amalgamated Transit Union. This movement began 2 short months ago after layoff was proposed and actually happened around the country. Beginning last October, our members in Detroit began to get laid off. 25% of that system was shut down in October. And on February the 3rd, in Chicago, 1,100 members of the Amalgamated Transit Union lost their jobs. The bankers had a party and the bus drivers lost their jobs. There's something wrong with that whole equation. We got together through this coalition to keep America moving. And I want you to know that in city after city, we will rally. We will bring the attention of the White House and the Congress to this national crisis. And through the process of going out there, we have to deliver a message to our friends. Seems to me in 2008, I heard that our friends got the White House. I heard that our friends won the Congress. I heard that our friends took over the Senate. Friends don't let friends get laid off. That's the bottom line. More than that, there is no urban agenda in America today, and that's a disgrace. It is urban America that put this Congress in power, and it is urban America that put Barack Obama in the White House. Urban America has to send a message to all our friends. You will not allow our transit systems to be dismantled, our jobs to be lost, our passengers and America to lose its mobility and still have our support. Thanks again, and I particularly want to thank John Samuelson and all the leaders in TWU who have done such a wonderful job working with the ATU and the other unions that are here today. Let's keep this thing rolling across the country. Thank you very much.
Targeting transit workers. Coalition that we're developing, and our next guest is a man who's emerged as the voice to talk about how transit across this country is underfunded, the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yeah! Save the workers.
Save the workers.
Save the families.
Save the families.
Mass transit.
Mass transit.
Now.
Now.
Access.
Access.
Healthcare.
Healthcare.
Access.
Access.
Education.
Education.
Access.
Access.
The jobs.
Jobs.
Mass transit.
Mass transit.
Now.
Now.
We bailed out Wall Street and left out the workers. Right. And so poverty is rising. The wealth is rising, and yet they're cutting off public education, laying off teachers, putting down public housing, public hospitals, and public jobs. And so this is a much broader fight than just what we're fighting here today. Today, 82% of all federal subsidy goes to highway and none to public transportation. The way for the future is not more cars and more gas, it's mass transit. So we, the workers, are the heart and soul
of
the green jobs
movement.
50 people
on the bus
rather than
50 cars
is the green movement.
100
people
on the train
rather than
100
cars is the green movement. You are the green job. I said laying off workers,
raising fares,
and cutting services.
Cutting
in New York City, 600,000 children ride transportation every day. They're about to raise a fare on these school children. That means more dropping out of school.
Understood.
In 1998, Gingrich got a bill passed that we must change. Any city over 200,000 gets zero public funding for workers. They can get more trains and more buses with nobody to drive them. Money goes to trains and buses, none to workers. Therefore, here you are today facing the threat of losing another 500 jobs. Say riders must join the mass transit movement. Students who will face higher fare must march with us. Teachers whose students can't come to school must march with us. We are the heart and soul of the industrial revitalization of our nation. Now, we have one thought. Say it, remove the cap.
Remove the cap.
Increase funding
for
workers,
and make
funding
more flexible.
We're going to meet the Senator Dodd, Nancy Pelosi, and the Congress. Republicans put on the cap to choke cities. Democrats must take off the cap to relieve the cities. Democrats, it's time to deliver. Deliver for the workers. Deliver for the students. Deliver for the poor. Put America back to work. Remove the cap. Fund the cities. Fund public transportation. Fund public education. Fund public health care. Bail out the workers. Bail out the students. Bail out the homeless. This land is our land. We've worked hard. We paid the dues. We earned the right for our job. We earned the right for security. Remove the cap. Fund the workers. Keep hope alive. Mass transit for all, mass transit for workers, mass transit for students. Keep hope alive. Love you guys.
TW Local 100 is under attack, but if we stand united, steadfast in resolve, and fight back, we're going to prevail in the end. Yeah. Thank you for coming out, brothers and sisters.
You know, it's interesting, a whole page obituary about Lena Horne, the great Lena Horne, who passed at 92 in the New York Times. And never once they mentioned that she kind of hung out with people who were not feeling antipathy to Paul Robeson. Of course, they don't mention who Paul Robeson is, just in case there's somebody is. And unfortunately, there are people who don't know, but never, ever mentioned that this woman was a activist who was involved aggressively in the human rights, civil rights movement, along with, of course, Ossie Davis and people like Harry Belafonte and so many others.
Well,
and
they kind of. The New York Times doesn't want people to be activists.
Maybe that's what
message.
It is. Well, stormy weather. I still have a crush on Lena Horne. Always
so
did.
Do I.
I can understand that. Well.
After a week of massive, tumultuous worker protests over the austerity measures being forced on the Greek people as part of the EU rescue package, the measures were approved by the Greek Parliament and the leaders of the European Union. But there's still fear that the plan will be doomed by market speculation against the euro.
The $146 billion three-year package would indirectly bail out the European banks that hold most of the Greek debt by attempting to solve the crisis, hey, on the backs of ordinary Greeks. It raises taxes as well as imposes deep cuts in public sector wages and pensions and in the private sector as well. If it works as intended, it will intensify the Greek recession, unemployment, and poverty. This may exacerbate the very debt crisis it was supposed to solve.
And we're now joined by Professor Kostas Panayiotakis, Professor of Sociology at the New York University College of Technology at CUNY.
I want to start from the plight of the Greek people themselves, who are being forced to bear the brunt of this aggressive restructuring or austerity process that's been taking place in Greece. So perhaps you can give us a sense of what the nature of rebellion and concern of the Greek populace has been in reference to this crisis.
These measures, as you said, are very harsh, very brutal. We are talking about very large salary reductions for public sector workers. We are talking about very drastic reductions of pensions, both in the private sector and in the public sector. We are talking about a complete undermining of the labor relations system in Greece, which will mean that the minimum salaries for new workers will be reduced. We are talking about people having to work longer in order to be retired. So we are talking about measures that will affect people's everyday lives in very drastic and negative ways, and this is the people who are not responsible for this crisis, and they are well aware that these measures are imposed on them in order to basically make sure that foreign creditors like German banks and French banks and European banks basically receive their money back. And to add insult to injury, some of these loans will be used to support even further Greek banks and private businesses. So people are well aware that they are being penalized for a crisis that they didn't cause, and this is why there is so much anger and such a determination to resist. And for these measures to be overturned, of course, this determination has to grow further, the resistance has to increase. So I think at this point, the situation is in flux, and it remains to be seen what will happen in the future. I don't expect that the strikes and the resistance will subside anytime soon.
That was basically the question I was going to ask you, whether the steam is out of the resistance at this point, or whether strikes and resistance and parliamentary, what's going on with the government in Greece? Have they totally capitulated, or are there any parts of the government that are willing to resist?
Well, I don't think that the protests have run out of steam. In fact, the last demonstration was larger than any of the demonstrations and strikes before. And the big reason for that is because even supporters of the Socialist Party are enraged at the magnitude of these measures and are joining the movement. This means that trade union leaders, many of whom are affiliated with the Socialist Party, are feeling the heat, and they are forced to adopt less ambiguous attitude, because before they were kind of split between their allegiance to the Socialist Party and their role as trade union leaders. So I think union leadership is feeling the heat, and also there are lots of tensions within the Socialist Party. In fact, three of the MPs of the Socialist Party did not vote for the IMF package. They just voted present, and they were promptly expelled by the Prime Minister, who's the leader of the Socialist Party. And there are many more people within the Socialist Party who are going along, even though they are opposed or they... So I think there are lots of tensions within the Socialist Party as well, and it remains to be seen how long they can go on like that. There is lots of resistance, and there is lots of disenchantment, even among the supporters of the Socialists, because the Socialists are now doing exactly the opposite from the platform they ran on just 6 months ago. So politically, it is not an easy situation for them, and that's why many commentators from the outside do not necessarily feel confident that the Socialist government can pull it off from a political point of view. They are seeing the protests, and they are probably observing the political situation as well that is tenuous. So what we have is protest movement that I think is growing in strength, and then we have a Socialist Party that has basically reversed itself 180 degrees. That creates lots of tensions within the party. But by the same token, the Socialist Party has tried to pass these measures using the help, actually, of the far right-wing party, which was it's a sort of extreme right anti-immigrant party, which basically supported the measures. And everybody else basically voted against them, including even the conservatives.
Help us understand a little bit more about the debt situation. What fueled this economic debt, and the real estate and construction boom seemed to be working nicely for the Greek economy at one time, but what actually fueled this crisis, and how are we to understand it?
What has been happening for the last 25 or 30 years in Greece is a succession of austerity policies and so-called reforms in the direction of more neoliberal free market policies that have increased inequalities. And when you have a model that is based on ever-growing inequalities, the only way to have any growth to speak of is through debt. And this is something that we're familiar with even in the United States. And now the other thing that happened that contributed to this debt, I think, is this the growing debt in Greece is, again, a product of the last 35 years or so, especially since 1980 when socialists came to power for the first time. For a long time before that, there was a long history of the left being persecuted. Greece had some parliamentary institutions. There was a military dictatorship, but there was not a kind of normal Western-style democracy. Even when there was a democracy, it didn't work normally because the left was persecuted and the Communist Party was outlawed and so on and so forth. And one of the things that happened in 1980, I think, is the socialists did have support from segments of the popular movements. And they did try, in some ways, to enfranchise these sectors of the population that were historically marginalized. But by the same token, they were not able to basically achieve substantial redistribution of wealth. So I think one of the reasons why debt increased was as a substitute for redistribution. It was a way of, you know, trying to provide some services to people, even in the absence of substantial redistribution. It was a way of trying to negotiate class conflict, if you wish, or the competing demands between popular sectors and capitalists. And the other part of the piece of the puzzle here is that also none of the governments in the last 25 or 30 years have been willing to basically tax the wealthy in Greece. So there is rampant tax evasion, and Greece is the country that of all the countries in the European Union, it's the country that relies the most when it comes to tax revenues on sales taxes, indirect taxes, that are notoriously regressive because, you know, low-income people spend more of their income on consumption, right? So because they cannot reduce tax evasion, the Greek governments overwhelmingly relied on sales taxes. And every time there is an austerity program, the first thing that governments will do, as they recently did, is to raise the sales tax. So basically what you have, the system in even the tax system, is a very inequitable one. And what you have is a welfare system that is not developed at all. And here there are lots of misconceptions in the American press talking about profligate Greeks and generous pensions, and nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, the main source of the fiscal problem in Greece, it's primarily a revenues problem. It's not an expenditure problem. It's not a matter of an extensive welfare state that has gone out of control. It's the result of a refusal or inability of governments, both socialists and conservatives, to make the wealthy pay their fair share of the taxes.
Well, certainly the draconian measures that could be imposed even further if Greek turns to the International Monetary Fund and the European Union for the loans will continue to be a source of great importance and interest to our listeners. And thank you, Professor Kostas Panayiotakis, professor of sociology at NYC, for at least that cursory analysis, both as to the origin of the crisis and most significantly the response and what will clearly be an ongoing response of the people of Greece. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Pleasure was all mine.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.